The new film, A World Apart, is about how apartheid tears apart families. The story is told from the point of view of a white 13-year-old girl whose parents are active in the anti-apartheid movement. The girl doesn't fully understand their commitment, and she's jealous because she must compete with the movement for her parents' time. The screenplay for A World Apart was written by my guest, Sean Slovo, and it's based on her experiences growing up in South Africa in the early 60s. Both her parents were members of the African National Congress. Her father, Joe Slovo, was a lawyer who represented blacks who challenged the race laws. Her mother, Ruth First, was a journalist who reported on the extreme conditions blacks worked under. Ruth First was arrested in 1963 under the provisions of the 90-Day Act, which allowed the authorities to imprison anyone without charges for up to 90 days. Sean Slovo remembers her mother's arrest vividly and made it a central scene of the new movie.
Yeah. You're not going to take the address book. You can't take that. It's got the telephone numbers of our doctor, our dentist, all the children's friends.
There are
friends.
Names and numbers of banned people in there, Mrs. Rock.
For God's sake, I'm a journalist.
Look. Diana, what's happening?
They're arresting me.
Oh, no.
It's 90 days.
Oh, my God.
Mom, please.
Go and pack your suitcase, Mrs. Rock.
Come on, help me. Jude, don't forget to remind Gran about the orthodontist this week. Molly, you must ask the Abelsons to collect you for writing.
No books except the Bible. No writing paper, no papers.
I asked Sean Slovo what kind of reporting her mother was known for.
She was known for exposing conditions of migrant workers, of mine workers, of farm labour exploitation. This was her particular focus, but she was also a member of the African National Congress, and both my parents were very much involved in strategy and planning of the African National Congress while it was a legal movement up until 1961, and then after that when it became when it was banned and became an illegal movement.
Your mother died because of a parcel bomb in 1982. Did you start writing the screenplay after that? Was this a way to remember her in a way?
Well, I think, you know, what happened was that, like most mother-daughters, we had quite an intense and volatile relationship, and it was complicated by the politics of the time. Towards the end of my mother's life, and because we were both getting older, we were beginning to be able to talk about the past and about the anger, about the guilt. And then suddenly on August 17th, 1982, she was assassinated. And the feelings were still there and she wasn't. So that's why I wrote the script, as a way of coming to terms with her death and a way of resolving certain things in my own mind.
The story is pretty autobiographical. You were, I guess, like the young girl in the movie, you were around 13 when your mother was arrested. There are scenes in the movie where the 13-year-old girl is with her mother with police guards watching, and the girl is crying, saying, please don't take my mother away. Mommy, please don't go. Please don't go. There's a scene in the prison where the mother and daughter meet, and the daughter is crying. And the mother keeps telling her, you can't show your emotion around them. You can't let them, the guards, let them see you this way. Did that actually happen to you, and did your mother have to tell you to button up your emotions while you're around the police?
Well, if she didn't exactly have to articulate it, I mean, I took that from the way that she behaved in front of the security forces, the way she tried to maintain a sense of dignity and not let them see how they were getting to her. And I think, you know, it's the same effect, in effect, that, you know, that's what I took from her. Don't let them see how you feel. Don't give them any kind of satisfaction.
Now, the daughter in the movie has a growing awareness of what apartheid is and how it works and why it's bad, but she's still very young and she hasn't experienced much of that firsthand. She hasn't experienced the oppression firsthand. She's experienced only the privilege. She feels very jealous in the movie of her mother's commitment to politics, her mother's commitment to fighting against apartheid. Is this what you went through with your own mother, wishing that she had more time for you?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think like every child, you know, your parents are the center of your world. And so you can't help but resent the fact that that a lot of their time and energy is focused on the struggle on behalf of 28 million black South Africans. What it does is create some kind of ambiguity, because on the one hand, you want this attention. On the other hand, you can see the evidence of apartheid and you understand the nature of your parents' commitment. And so you feel selfish to demand some of that attention that is being focused on their political work. And that's, you know, a dilemma for the child, for me, for my sisters.
When you were a child?
When I was a child.
Did you talk about that with your mother when you were a child?
Not when I was a child, no. You know, I mean, later on, yes. And, you know, she said something very interesting in the years before her assassination. She said that had she and my father known the way the struggle was going to progress, they would have thought twice about having a family. Because in the 50s, early 50s, when we were born, I was born in 1950 and my two sisters after that, they were very kind of heady, optimistic days. There was a real faith in the process of democratic change, to democratic struggle to achieve peaceful protest to achieve some kind of progress.
Looking back, do you understand your mother's commitment to the struggle now, and do you still feel at all jealous of the time she took away from you?
Yes, both. The answer is yes to both of those. Both of those feelings. I mean, I absolutely understand her commitment. There was some dialogue in the film, which was in the final confrontation between the mother and the daughter. The mother says, "Would you have preferred it if we'd been different? If we'd been like your best friend's mother, completely apolitical and with nothing to do but go to the hairdresser and stand by all the time?" And the daughter answers, "Yes, no. Yes, no." And I think, you know, I mean, you can absolutely respect that kind of commitment and understand the choices that your parents make, and at the same time resent the fact that what it does is prevent you from growing up at a proper pace.
Your movie ends shortly after the mother gets out of jail, and she's basically banned. She's sentenced to house arrest.
Mm.
What happened to you in real life shortly after that?
Well, you know, as the movie shows, my father had left the country and on some kind of mission to do with his work for the African National Congress. While he was out of the country, there was the Rivonia raid where they arrested Nelson Mandela, Walter Sisulu, Governor Mbeki and the others. As Joe Slover, my father, was part of that policy formulating group, he became a wanted man, so he couldn't come back into the country. Then after my mother was finally released after 117 days in solitary confinement, she was then banned, which meant that she couldn't work in the country. And as my father was in exile, we joined him in England.
Easier said than done. How did you get out of the country?
Oh, you know, the South African authorities would much rather have had Ruth first out of the country than in the country in the threat that she posed to them. Those were different times. You know, it was embarrassing for them to hold a white middle-class woman in jail for too long. Now they don't care. But those were different times.
How did you feel about leaving South Africa at the time?
Well, you know, one part of it was excitement, but I think it was a huge disruption, particularly in my life. I mean, my sisters were younger, and I just think to go from the kind of country that South Africa is to the kind of country that Britain is in all sorts of ways, from the climatic to the social and economic differences was extremely difficult and took a lot of adjusting. On the other hand, I mean, you know, we were lucky compared to the experiences of many families, mostly black and some white, at that time in South Africa and today.
Now, this is the first movie that you've written.
Yes.
That got actually produced. How does the film compare with what you had in your mind when you were writing it and what you remembered from real life?
Well, you know, I mean, I had quite a unique experience as a film writer, and I think it's, you know, because of the nature of the collaborators, the director Chris Menges and the producer Sarah Radcliffe, and because also it was an autobiographical story, I was kept very close to the production through all stages, in the planning, through the shooting, through the post-production, and I was referred to and deferred to. So at every single stage, you know, I was able to give my input, and, you know, I think what is on the screen is about as close as I could have envisaged in an ideal world to what I wrote.
Sean Slovo, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sean Slovo wrote the screenplay for the new film A World Apart. This is Fresh Air.